Billy got more and more nervous, afraid the girl might not show up, afraid she might. He kept asking, why didn't we all go to bed instead of sitting here in the cold dark like hounds waiting at the kitchen for table scraps, and we just grinned at him. None of us felt like going to bed. It wasn't cold at all, and it was pleasant to relax in the half-light and listen to McMurphy and Mr. Turkle tell tales. Nobody acted sleepy, or not even very worried that it was after 2 o'clock and the girl hadn't showed up yet. Turkle suggested maybe she was late because the ward was so dark she couldn't see to tell which one to come to. And McMurphy said that was the obvious truth, so the two of them ran up and down the halls, turning on every light in the place. Were even about to turn on the big overhead wake-up lights in the dorm when Harding told them that this would get all the other men out of bed to share things with. They agreed and settled for all the lights in the doctor's office instead. No sooner did they have the ward lit up like full daylight than there came a tapping at the window. McMurphy ran to the window and put his face to it, cupping his hands on each side so he could see. He drew back and grinned at us. "She walks like beauty in the night," he said. He took Billy by the wrist and dragged him to the window. "Let her in, Turkle. Let this mad stud at her."
"Look, McMurphy, wait."
Billy was balking like a mule. "Don't you Murphy me, Billy boy. It's too late to back out now. You'll pull through. I'll tell you what. I got $5 here says you burn that woman down, all right? Open the window, Turkle." There were two girls in the dark, Candy and the other one that hadn't showed up for the fishing trip.
"Hot dog," Turkle said, helping them through. "Enough for everybody."
We all went to help. They had to lift their tight skirts up to their thighs to step through the window. Candy said, "You damn McMurphy," and tried so wild to throw her arms around him that she came near to breaking the bottles she held by the neck in each hand. She was weaving around quite a bit, and her hair was falling out of the hairdo she had piled on top of her head. I thought she looked better with it swung at the back like she'd worn it on the fishing trip. She gestured at the other girl with a bottle as she came through the window.
"Sandy came along. She just up and left that maniac from Beaverton that she married. Isn't that wild?"
The girl came through the window and kissed McMurphy and said,
"Hello, Mac. I'm sorry I didn't show up, but that's over. You can take just so many funsies like white mice in your pillowcase and worms in your cold cream and frogs in your bra."
She shook her head once and wiped her hand in front of her like she was wiping away the memory of her animal-loving husband.
"Jesus, what a maniac."
They were both in skirts and sweaters and nylons and barefoot and both red-cheeked and giggling.
"We had to keep asking for directions," Candy explained, "at every bar we came to."
Sandy was turning around in a big wide-eyed circle.
"Hoo-wee, Candy girl, what are we in now? Is this real? Are we in an asylum? Man!"